Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Andy Cohen, editor of Counselor Magazine here at ASI, and we're getting ready for some big snow, I hear, this morning.
Big snow.
Or this afternoon at some point.
Big
right?
snow.
Kathy says big snow.
Especially by you in Tuckahoe, Andy.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We're 8 to 15 inches, I heard. So,
that's right.
You know.
Better leave now.
Better leave now. Okay.
Yeah.
So, CJ, you're hosting.
Andy.
All right. I am joined in the studio by a merry band of crazy characters. We have Kathy Houston, editor of Advantages. Kathy, how are you?
Good. Sad about the Eagles. Happy about your Jets.
Jets. J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets. Everybody catch the fever. All right. CJ. Mitika is here, editor of Wearables. CJ, how are you today?
Better, though my Ducks, unfortunately, lost. Well, not my Ducks, but...
Your Ducks?
Are they really your Ducks?
Not really. No.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
For Monday night, they were.
For Monday night.
You laid a little cash on that game?
Okay. That's Joe Haley, everybody. Everybody's favorite managing editor. Joe, how are you this morning?
I'm surviving, Andy.
Like,
you're surviving.
Like, yeah, I'm... There we go. I'm Ooh. Gloria Gaynor.
He will survive.
You will survive.
I will.
Indeed. Good. We are also joined by our newest editor, Chris Ruvo. Chris, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Good. Well, welcome to the show. And, of course, we have our crazy tech people here. There's a lot of them in the studio today. We have a new camera, everybody, so everybody's going to pan in on you as you're speaking. So, Craig, pan in on Kathy
don't
the
worry.
Whole time.
Don't worry.
So the rest of us don't have to worry about being panned in on.
It isn't high def, so you'll look okay.
Oh, okay. Is it good
right.
Oprah lighting?
Yes.
Good.
We have a great show planned for you today. We're getting ready to take your calls. Give us a ring about any customer service challenges you have. The host will answer your questions and hopefully start you off right in 2011 for good customer service that you'll provide to your clients. But before we get started, Joe, give us a rundown about what we're going to talk about.
Well, first of all, when you call in, Vinny Driscoll is going to answer your phone, and working the tech booth over there is Matt Albright. And today we have a special calling guest, Kelly Claudia from Swedis, calling in to chat us up. Andy's going to look at 10 marketing musts. I'm sorry.
That'll be me.
That's over
guy.
To Chris. We threw that story to Chris.
Oh.
We also have 8 ways women can get ahead in the workplace, and who else to bring us that story but Kathleen.
I thought you were going to say CJ.
No. CJ's got to look at 10 states with unemployment recovery. I have 15 memorable companies that vanished, and these are companies that we all remember, and we're going to say why they went away and what can be done about that. We also have our favorite things, one of our newest section, some other topics, but we're all going to start it off with industry news in 60 seconds with Andy.
All right. Thank you, Joe. We begin this morning with the formation of what could become one of the largest suppliers in the industry. Campsing Global last week acquired both Corvest and Senator Promotional Group USA. The three suppliers are now coming together to form a top 20 supplier company, with Billy Dolan, CEO of Campsing, heading the organization. More supplier acquisition news now. Sportco has acquired the Gabrielle Rody Royce, Gabby Sport, and Rody Royce for Men labels of Rody Royce, Inc. The Gabrielle Rody Royce brand will relaunch this spring with a new product line. As part of the deal, Gabrielle Rody has joined Sportco to help relaunch her brands and market them to the ad specialty industry. On to economic news. Led by service industries, the private sector added nearly 300,000 jobs in December, according to payroll firm ADP. The U.S. government said the economy overall added more than 100,000 jobs in the month. In global monetary news, China has stated its intention to allow the yuan to appreciate by about 5% in 2011. Add this to the many reasons for potential rising prices in the ad specialty market this year. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of the Joe Show and program today. Joe, what's hot today?
Well, Andy, we're looking at some new products, products I tend not to show on the Joe Show, one of them being a blazer, and some ideas for distributors of how they can sell that to clients, potential clients.
Are you going
to
model it?
A blazer?
I'm not. I use Mr. No Head.
It's on a mannequin.
Oh.
We're employing
Mr.
mannequins
No Head.
Now for
yeah.
the Joe Show. All right, well.
They listen. They stand at their spot, and they listen to me, and I like that.
Everybody should look forward to that for sure. All right, we're going to take your calls in a little bit on customer service challenges. Have any issues you'd like us to solve regarding customer service, give us a ring at 215-953-4979. But right now on the phone, we have Kelly Claudio, who is Sweda's Director of New Business Development. Kelly, how are you this morning?
I'm great. I'm watching the sun come up here in beautiful Las Vegas and listening to you guys having way too much fun.
We are. We are indeed having way too much fun. Now, I understand you guys had some big news last week regarding some new brands that you guys are carrying. What's the news?
Well, you know, Suita's motto is to be the preferred choice of innovative marketing solutions in the promotional products channel. What I have been tasked to do is go out and expand that so that anything from mastering the advantage price point to brands is a solution that we can provide all PPDs. So what I did, I went out and I signed two exclusive license agreements with two global brands, Callaway Golf and London Fog. Specifically, Callaway Golf is a unique gifts and accessories that are exclusively the Callaway rich history, prestige in the brand, beautiful leather pad folios, journals made with paper crushed stones, stunning silver flask enveloped in beautiful soft velvet pouches, stainless steel drinkware with beautiful authentic calfskin leather sleeves, leather electronic holders, and then with London Fog, London Fog's history and elegance and updated contemporary image. This brand is a very timeless brand, and we are doing umbrellas for London Fog. Whether or not they're tagline. So whether or not you need an umbrella, London Fog is soon going to be your first choice for co-branding with, and we're kicking it up a notch, so it won't be that everyday umbrella in those bright greens and reds and oranges and yellows that you see in our market. It's a very high fashion color palette with really rich plaids that London Fog is known for, and a very rich fashion color palette.
Now, Kelly, we talk a lot on this show about the increasing importance of brands, and you guys are obviously carrying some brand name things. What do you think distributors can do to talk to their clients about the importance of using brand names in their promotional campaigns?
Here's the thing. For instance, with an Oakley, a Leatherman, a Blue Lounge, a distributor can rest assured they never have to apologize for a brand. It makes a statement, it's an aspirational statement, and they walk in and it's an open door for brands. There's very minimal, I mean, if any, resistance to an end user not seeing you because you're carrying a high-profile brand. And, you know, we associate quality and taste with the brand, and you're going to see that continuous marketing effort out there with your logo on a brand because you're going to use it. You're going to, you know, a consumer wants to have it in their stable. They want to keep it, and they want to keep that pad folio, or someone can see that their brand is co-branded with Callaway Golf. It's prestige. It's history. It's notoriety. And, you know, there is no apologizing for a brand.
Well, there you go. All right, Kelly. Well, thanks very much for giving us a couple of minutes this morning. And you go get your morning coffee out there in Vegas,
okay? Thank you. Thank you. Guys, have a great day.
All right, thanks. You too. All right, we're going to pause to hear a pause for a break from our sponsor, I Promote You. But when we get back, we will take your calls.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
All right, we are back on the Tuesday morning show, and we are getting ready to take your calls regarding any customer service challenges you have. If you have any issues that you'd like the host to solve, give us a ring at 215-953-4979. We already have a couple callers on the line. Let's go to Ashley on line 3. Ashley, how are you today?
I'm good. Just getting ready for the snow like you guys.
Uh-oh. Well, get your shovel out.
Okay. Well, speaking of service, I definitely have an issue with one of my clients. I feel like we go out of our way to help our clients, but we have one that kind of takes advantage of our help and takes up a little bit more time than the rest. But as it turns out, it's a good client. Sometimes it's a burden. So I'm wondering if you had any thoughts on how I can kind of balance this out.
Maybe you can just give them a set amount of time that you have to spend with them. Say, I have an hour for lunch on this day or whatever. Or I have a half hour to be on the phone with you. Then I have a meeting. Something like that. That's what I do with one of my annoying friends.
Wow. Treat your clients like Kathy's best friends. I would also suggest maybe looking at trying to increase prices that you charge them. You know, if you have a client that is you're terming a good client, you know, before you said that it was a good client, I may have suggested to fire that client. But if it's a good client that you don't really want to get rid of, you may want to consider trying to increase your margin by getting more revenue out of them with increased prices. You know, it's something that I would think of for sure.
Sure. Well, one thing you can do, Andy, is think like an ad agency and have them put you on a retainer.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's that monthly or weekly or whatever it is, consulting fee, so mm-hmm. that when you're there, you know you're going to get paid for it, and then it's not so bad having to, you know, offer up that hour, half hour of the time.
Yeah, Ashley, I would say that the problem you're probably having is that, your margins are shrinking because you're dedicating so much time to this client, so you probably have to look at ways to improve those margins with either higher prices or, like Joe said, which is a great idea, you know, some sort of retainer relationship where you know you have some money coming in up front. Well, Ashley, hopefully that helps, and stay on the line so we can get your information for your Visa gift card.
Thanks very much.
All right, on line one we have Karen. Karen, how are you today?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Great. Well, my question is it's been really hard for us to keep up with our customer service lately because our orders have picked up recently, which is great news. But even though I'm glad my business is doing better, I really feel like our customer service is starting to lag a little bit. Do you guys have any ideas on ways we can improve?
Well, I would say, you know, what are you doing to increase your orders? Increasing orders is a good thing, but if you're then not following up with customer service efforts, then those are just clients that you're just going to lose on the back end. So you have to kind of determine, you know, can I afford some more customer service personnel? If I need to hire more people in that area, do I need to take away from another area? You still want the flow of orders to come in, but you don't want to then undercut all your customer service efforts in the process.
Sure. One of the things I would say that if you don't have a huge budget to hire, look to the local universities, and we talk about this all the time. Mm-hmm. Look for, you know, students who are in the marketing field and see if they'll come work a few hours for you in the afternoon. Also, look to elementary schools and any younger moms who are stay-at-home moms but are also looking for a few hours a week to do some work. They could possibly come into your office Monday mornings, Wednesday mornings, whatever it is, give you a little bit of time. You probably wouldn't have to give them benefits, pay them a lot of money. So you're getting someone who's going to help you out with the customer service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Karen, I would also suggest taking a good look at your customer list and segmenting, maybe by A, B, and C customers, either by revenue or by the profit that they generate for your company. So that you know that you're dedicating your most resources to your A customers. And, you know that if there's a customer that is in that C list that is taking up too much of your time, then, like I talked about before, maybe that's a customer you might need to part ways with or raise prices on so that they're, you know, accounting for a little bit more of the revenue that comes into your company.
That's great. Thanks, guys.
All right, Karen. Well, hang on the line, and Vinny will get your information for your Visa gift card. We also posted this topic to our Facebook page, and we got one question that I thought had some great attitude and edge. So let me read it. It came from Melanie Avigliano-Schultz, and she wrote, "How do we as business professionals explain to customers that we have to make a living as well without offending them?" So I guess Melanie is asking, you know, how do we talk to customers about not giving them all of our time, like we were talking about with one of the callers, but also trying to make money on them.
Well, I think, like Joe said, the retainer thing, and I think you have to set yourself up as a professional consultant mm-hmm. from the start.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't they pay you?
Yeah, you have to be honest and upfront with them. I mean, how many other businesses, you know, allow their clients to pay on the back end after an order has been fulfilled? You know, if you go, one of the examples you hear a lot, that if you go to get something custom framed, they want 50% of that, you know, order up front. Then when you pick up the framed item, you pay the balance of it. So, I mean, it's just...
I did a custom framing, and I paid 100% up front.
Well, there you go. See, yeah, so, I mean, you are a business. I think it's just open and honest and frank conversation.
Right.
And, you know, if that client's going to push you on this, and maybe it's not a client that you want to continue to serve, and you have to look at that. You have to look long and hard, say, is it worth my effort here? Is it worth my time? You know, is there a payout? And then you can just move them out and say, we're going to fire you.
Yeah, and just think your time's just as valuable as theirs.
You know,
and your business is just as valuable as theirs.
Right, and if you truly offer good customer service and you're really serving these clients, I mean, how many times do we hear about stories where someone fires a client, they can't find the service someplace else, and they end up coming back. Mm-hmm. So that relationship will get better after they've had a bad experience. They come back and realize, okay, I really need to take advantage of this while not taking advantage of the people I'm working with.
Yeah, I think that, like you said, Joe, that the sort of frank conversation or, you know, just I think people understand that everybody's in this to make a living. And sure. if you're, you know, one person operation or, you know, small company, your clients are going to recognize that, that your service and your, that what you provide can't go to all of your clients the same, with the same level. So, having these kind of frank conversations are important, and also set up expectations. If a client expects that you're going to always be there for them, at every, you know, at the drop of a hat, then that's what they're going to want. If you set expectations to be, you know, a little bit different, and so that they understand the relationship, then they'll know what to expect out of it.
That's a great example point. And point. Thank you. Not example.
It was probably point.
I've been coaching for 22 years, and one of the things that I learned over the years, at the beginning of a season, whether it's baseball, soccer, basketball, whatever it is, you sit down with the parents and you tell them what they should expect from you as a coach and what they should expect from the season. So as long as you can fulfill all that at the end of the season, you've met the expectations that you set out for them. You can do the same thing in business too. It's like working together. This is what you should expect from me. And then the client should come back and say, okay, he did exactly everything he said he was going to do. So
absolutely.
Good point with my sports analogy.
Very good, go. Joe. And your little stroke at the beginning.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy.
Okay, moving on from Joe's stroke. We now need to hear from our newest editor, Chris Ruvo. So, Chris, you have a story on 10 marketing musts, things that distributors must do to market their businesses this year. What can you tell us?
Yeah, that's right. There was an interesting story on Inc.com by Marla Tabaka. She's a business coach. And essentially what she's pointing out is that small businesses often do not do enough to market themselves. And by not marketing themselves, they're missing out on growing their profits. And she has 10 tips here that you should focus on to become a better marketer.
All right, give us a few.
All right, we'll
post the rest to our website.
Okay, she says, number one, you want to create a plan. Look at what's been successful in dealing with your clients in the past and kind of formalize that into a plan and a strategy. And as you're executing that plan over different platforms, be it in face-to-face, you know, interaction in social media, you want to be consistent in your message. You don't want to be telling one audience one thing and another audience another, because it's going to misrepresent who you are. She also does recommend that you focus more on the technology aspect of marketing that's out there. You want to get involved in social media, be posting to Twitter, have a presence on Facebook. You want to start a blog and start commenting on other blogs that would be related to yours. And while you're focusing on that technological aspect, you don't want to lose sight of the most important interaction, which is, you know, your face-to-face, calling on people, being a presence in your clients' lives. And that's kind of her condensed recommendations.
Cool. Yeah. All right, some good marketing ideas for 2011. We'll post the rest of them to our website at asicentral.com/radio. All right, Kathy, you have some ways that women can get ahead in the workplace.
And I would know, Andy.
What can you tell us?
Well, first of all, what are you waiting for, women? Many women believe if they do what they're told, they'll be noticed and rewarded. That's not the case.
Uh-oh.
Okay? You hear the squeaky wheel gets the grease? This woman advises that women subtly call attention to their achievements. And when it comes to compliments, women are often shy about it, you know, and don't tout their own accomplishments. But don't be afraid to ask for what you want either. Women are less likely to ask for a pay raise than men. That's according to a 2008 Washington Post survey. Women were 85% less likely to ask for a promotion than their pushy male counterparts.
What are you trying to say?
If you lack the courage, women out there, to ask your supervisor for something, then the answer is always no, which makes sense, right? And don't ever, ever cry at work, Andy. I think I might have seen you cry at work. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But
there's no crying
in promotional products. So don't do it, because you're seen as weaker and you're seen as not able to rise to the challenge.
I agree with that.
So that's
I hate to sound callous, but I hate crying.
Oh,
I just hate it.
Yeah,
oh.
I mean, you know.
I always have to find someone else and say, why is that person crying?
If you have to get it together, actually suggests that you practice how you would handle unpleasant situations away from the workplace, which I think is a little ridiculous.
Should we practice that now?
No, I don't think so. What, are you going to make me cry? But anyway.
I'm going to try not to.
One more really good point, I think, is make the most out of feedback and criticism. Don't be very sensitive. It's not easy to swallow your mistakes, but you have to do it. And your manager, when they see you taking constructive criticism in a positive way, they'll think of you more highly.
That last point is good for everybody.
I think so.
Because there's way too much, way too many things taken personally when
right.
it comes to
right.
constructive
and
criticism.
And you just can't.
And,
I mean, come
and,
on.
You know, yeah, maybe it didn't come out as quote-unquote constructive, but that's, for the most part, what it was
right.
meant to be. And, you know, the whole success in business is learning from your mistakes.
That's right.
And you can't do that if you take everything, you know, too personally or too mm-hmm. to heart. So.
Right.
There you go.
So there you go, boys.
I just realized that there's 3, 4, 7. There's 7 guys in this room.
Yeah, I wonder why I got to sign this story.
You. So how does it feel to be 1 against 7?
Oh, man, I feel like I have a harem.
All right, moving on from the 7 against 1 men to women in the room. We're going to go to CJ with 10 states that are seeing some unemployment recovery. So, CJ, enlighten us about the states in the country that are doing pretty well employment-wise.
Sure. Well, I mean, unemployment, I think, is for most people still the big issue as far as the economy is concerned. In fact, you know, Time had, like, their cover, and for all the year they're having a series of articles about jobs and where jobs are. And the good news is that unemployment is recovering. That in December, I think it was 9.4%, which is a slight increase over November. So there are
decrease.
Yes. Right. So a slight improvement, I should say.
Yep.
But it seems like that ever so slowly jobs are starting to come back, and there are some states where there is some good news. Anybody want to take a guess where the top improving state is?
Pennsylvania.
Yeah. No. Let's take another.
Despite
guess.
ASI's hiring policies.
Somewhere
no.
in the Midwest.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, Nebraska.
Nope.
Colorado.
Nope, actually.
Utah.
Colorado in the Midwest, Joe?
In fact, Colorado has the most increase in unemployment.
Chris?
So the exact opposite.
Chris, what's your guess?
I'll shoot for Illinois.
Illinois?
It's actually Michigan.
Michigan.
Oh, because the car industry is
Yeah, and that's a big part of it, just because, you know, with the car industry, it was so low, and it's improving. I think it's a 17.5% increase in jobs. Actually, the other thing, though, which is not as good, is that some unemployed workers are not searching for jobs, so they're technically not unemployed. So
right.
They're not working, so it's kind of like a false positive in that regard.
That's the biggest problem with the official unemployment statistics, is they don't count the people who have been unemployed so long that they're not looking for jobs. So mm-hmm. it's bigger than it actually is, but it definitely is getting better.
And the runner-ups for most increase in improvement in unemployment, number 2 is New Hampshire, and number 3 is Alabama.
All right, those are around the map. How's New York doing?
That's all I care about.
Not so good.
Thank God you work in
not
Pennsylvania.
Not so good. Yeah. I get the best of both worlds. Live in New York, work in Pennsylvania.
That's
all good.
Right.
All right, Joe, you promised us to talk about some memorable companies
yep.
that have vanished.
Vanished.
Talk to us.
Okay. When E.F. Hutton talks,
people
Nobody
don't listen anymore.
Okay, but people listen. See, you remember that. It's a memorable company. We're talking about companies here who were at the top of their game and everyone knew. Or at least we think. I hope that the 3 I pick out here, people know. So let's talk about the first one. Does anyone remember the merry-go-round?
The what?
The merry-go-round. It was a clothing retailer back in the 80s, and that very trendy. CJ looks like he's going to say something.
No.
CJ was born in the 80s.
CJ wasn't even
alive. I thought I could say members only jacket, but I think that's something different.
No. It was this retailer and a very trendy apparel. Okay,
did you wear it, Joe?
I did. I used to go get things at the merry-go-round. The problem was is that when we transitioned into the 90s
trendy.
The kind of
can't you tell
that the fashions changed, the merry-go-round didn't change with it, and because of that, they were out of business. So our lesson here that we learned is you got to be willing to change with the
times. Go with the flow.
All right. Everyone remember Woolworths?
Yeah.
Woolworths, big department store. Like it was like they said it was the model for five and dimes throughout the United States. They had people all over the place. But because of the malls, no one was going to standalone stores anymore, and they had a hard time adjusting to that again. And so it's adjusting to that chain, and all their stores just started closing left and right, and they couldn't keep up and out of business.
Bye-bye, Woolworths.
All right. I got one more for you. What car was used in Back to the Future?
The DeLorean.
Okay, there's this weird car. It was made out of stainless steel. Everyone knows that, so it wouldn't what?
Rust.
So it wouldn't rust. Stainless steel doesn't rust. But the problem was
we're on the ball today. Wow.
People talked about it, but there was no demand for the product. Everyone talked about this car, stainless steel. Looked at it right now. The collectibles for that, anything from dealership signs to brochures and pamphlets, is huge. So there's a retro market for all the collectibles. But at the time, there was no demand. So you got to be selling something that people want, no matter how cool it is, no matter how shiny it is. If no one wants it.
No matter how rust-proof.
That's right. No one's going to buy it, and you're going to be out of business. So that's some lessons to learn from some of these great companies I remember. Everyone remember Eastern Airlines? I'll just do this really quickly. I flew. First time I flew was Eastern Airlines.
Me too.
Big wide body.
Is this
going to
merge into a rant of some
kind? No. Philadelphia to Florida. I mean, it's a huge, huge plane for a two-hour flight. And I thought, man, this is awesome. And out of business. Eastern Airlines.
They couldn't go with the flow either, I
guess. Nope. But then again, it's all that retro stuff. If you can get stuff that's got the Eastern Airline logo on it, there's collectors out there who will buy it up. But we'll post all 15 of these on the website.
Yes, we will. All right, now it's time for everybody's new favorite segment. It is our favorite things. Joe, why don't you lead us off?
Oh, I would love to, Andy. All right, Craig's going to come in tight on this. This is a leather-bound journal
here. This is our new feature
here,
where we can come in tight on
it. And this is a golf log, you think. And I love these little books. This is from Rustico. And I love these because I always think of Indiana Jones. Because, you know, Indiana Jones always had that little book that he pulled out, little leatherette book. But this has got a nice feel to it, and the more it chews, the patina will get nicer on this. Inside, if Craig can come in this, you'll see these pages. And this is a golf log, so golfers are going to use this. They're going to log in where they played, the date and all that, what they did on each hole, and then you can count up your eagles, your birdies, your pars, your bogeys, your doubles, bogeys, all the information about that round.
Or you could lie and say you didn't get any double bogeys.
Well, the golfers would like this because then they can see where they need help. If they have too many three putts, then putting is their weakness. If they don't hit enough fairways and regulations.
That's my problem. Too many three putts.
Not enough time on the 19th.
This is a great product for any distributor who has clients who run golf tournaments because they can use the tee gift. And I haven't seen this around a lot, so I think it would be a good tee gift. Also, if corporations have a corporate golf league in there, they can give this out to everyone who joins that league at the beginning of the season as a gift for joining. Also, it would be good for any type of golf destination, country club who wants to increase membership. It can be a membership incentive to, you know, you join up, we're going to give you one of these.
All right.
So
cool.
From Rustico.
Jeez.
Cool product. Stop screaming, Joe. CJ, to you.
All right, so I have my product with me. This is actually from Adventure Products, and if you guys can see, there's lovely sunglass decoration here on the little neck part, and so, you know, screen printing definitely can get some attention with some, you know, unique locations. It's actually
pretty cool.
This made for Sex and the City too, so the movie wasn't so great, but you know, something like this, a promotion would be definitely good to use for your next T-shirt promotion. And also, it came in a compressed tee package, and it was in the shape of a DVD. So
that's really cool, CJ. I like that.
Did you
cool.
like it?
Mm-hmm. All right, before we go to you, Kathy, we have a very important call from a caller. His name is Irv, and he wants to talk about the merry-go-round that Joe talked about. Merv, how are you today?
I'm fine, and you?
Good. What do you know about merry-go-round?
Actually, I want to tell you, merry-go-round was based here right in Baltimore, and you know, his warehouse was here as well. But I think Buki Wineglass was the person that owned merry-go-round, and he got a lot of press coverage because he was going to buy a sports franchise here. I can't remember if it was a football team or a baseball team. But after that, it seemed like somebody pulled the plug on his business, and it just went south.
Wow, they probably pulled the money out of his
Buki
business,
wine
it sounds
glass.
Like.
Buki Wineglass,
I like his last name.
Yeah, how you like that?
It's great.
He was, I think he had something to do with the diner, the presentation, the movie, The Diner.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think he was kind of like tied up in that as well, but that's what I know about the merry-go-round. It was interesting hearing their name again.
Cool. All right, Irv. Well, thanks for the history lesson, for sure.
You're welcome.
All right, Kathy, to you on the your favorite thing of the week.
My favorite thing of the week, I don't have it with me, but don't you hate bloody noses and static clink?
Yes, both of those.
Yes. Especially when I get them at the same time.
I'm not sure how they go together, but yes.
We'll find out.
Well, this product will help you with both of those because it's perfect for the office, home, or travel, and it's a mini USB air humidifier from Starline USA, ASI 89320, and it silently disperses a cool mist that improves air quality, and it makes your air not dry anymore. So you're not going to get those bloody noses in the winter.
Oh, now I get it.
And the static cling.
And the static cling.
Right.
Goodbye, static cling.
That's right.
Put a bowl of water in front of your register.
No, Joe. No. This is much better. So anyway, this would be great for any office, office or home, any kind of promotion. Everybody would love it.
Very cool.
Yes.
All right. My product of the week comes from Limb Gear, which is ASI 67554. And this is a perfect product for us in the Northeast here. Anybody who wants to go out in the wintertime but also stay fit, it is a MP3-enabled head warmer. So you can put it can also contain earbuds. It's made of moisture-wicking fleece, and there's a pocket for MP3 players within the head warmer. So perfect for you, Kathy.
Is it like
you
a band?
You want to go on your winter run.
I want to go on my running.
Is it like a band?
Yeah, it's like a band.
Hmm, interesting.
There you go.
I wonder if we've ever showed that on the show before.
Oh, did you? Well, Joe, that was your favorite thing that
Thanks
week.
For paying attention, Andy. And unfortunately, I forgot to tell Chris about he had to come with a favorite thing, but...
That's all right.
That's all right.
I'm still setting up my voicemail. I'll set it eventually.
Chris has a lot of things to learn. Yeah. The last thing he needs is a favorite thing of the week. All right, Joe, we have just enough time left for your rant of the week. So what is it?
What?
I'm waiting.
The Uh-oh. Eagles.
Oh, my God.
Oh he needs God. Theme music. Joe cannot talk without
All
theme
right.
music.
And so it begins. The local news is forecasting snow for the area. Oh Depending God, on God. What station you prefer, we're looking at anywhere from 4 to 12 inches, possibly more, if the storm intensifies quickly. I love that caveat. It's certainly a wild card, and it gives weather people a mulligan on their predictions. So that amount of snow is nothing. But in this area, we refer to any forecast of snow as the French Toast Report, Andy. Why? Well, for whatever reason, people in the greater Philadelphia area rush out to grocery stores to stock up on milk, bread, and eggs, the essential ingredients for
French toast.
French toast. I kid you not, the local Fox affiliate this morning stationed a reporter at a grocery store, and it opened at 6 a.m. By 6:45, they were out of eggs, and milk and bread was soon to go.
It is. Really is.
It certainly is perplexing, Andy, that people are stocking up as if we are on the verge of some major catastrophe.
It's like Armageddon's coming.
Snowmageddon.
It's not even like this is some weird but fun Pennsylvania Dutch tradition where people eat French toast centuries ago to ward off snow demons. Nope, it's just panicky fussy buckets afraid that 6 inches of snow will have them housebound for weeks, and whatever would they do without their
French
fuzzy
toast.
Buckets.
So you're saying this is a vast conspiracy propagated by the supermarkets to increase sales? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that people in this area are idiots.
You're the conspiracy theorist.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
On the fuzzy buckets note, we are unfortunately out of time for this week.
Fuzzy buckets.
Excuse me, not fuzzy. Fuzzy buckets. But make sure to join us next week when Michelle Bell will come back and give us stories about her travails around Europe. So
Ooh,
stay tuned for that.